Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is a weekly program sponsored by Coins Plus. Coins Plus is a full-service precious metals broker-dealer located in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is committed to honesty and integrity in every transaction. Now here's the host of True Wealth, Kevin Wolter.
Hello and welcome back to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin Wolter, the host of True Wealth. True Wealth is a weekly radio program sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, and depository service. Coins Plus also has a sister company, which is called Clock Tower Jewelry, which is a full-service jewelry store. And we do have a nice inventory. We do a lot of custom order stuff. You can look at it as custom work, custom jewelry. Custom jewelry is oftentimes very expensive and most often not some of the most attractive stuff you've seen, unfortunately, over the years. So we've done plenty of custom jewelry. We offer a lot of, you know, different kind of catalog services and stuff where we can find pretty much anything you want or better and have it done quickly and promptly and extremely refined and professional looking. And we have a great inventory of diamonds and gemstones, all kinds of quality gems, from, you know, blue sapphires, rubies, emeralds, you name it. I mean, we've got every type of sapphire you can imagine. And of course, we've got a great selection of diamonds. We're very knowledgeable. We buy quality jewelry. We buy quality watches. And that doesn't mean Timex or Seiko. That means Rolex or Philippe Patek or, you know, Bulgari, things like that. But we're always involved in that stuff as well. Coins Plus is obviously a full-service rare coin and precious metals dealer, broker, depository service. And what that means is everything from, you know, bullion, precious metals, rare coins, collectibles, all that kind of stuff. That's our specialty. We have some of the highest trained numismatist professionals in the industry. We've all been through continuing education and we'll be continuing our education each year as employees endure with us. We are extremely knowledgeable professionals in our industry. We do nothing but study and analyze the markets day in and day out. I've been doing it for decades. We know coins, we know precious metals, we know numismatics phenomenally well, and we do have an incredible handle on the market. We really recommend building balanced portfolios. There is a tremendous level of opportunity out there in a number of different sectors of our markets. Obviously, everybody's, you know, gold and silver. That's the basis. That's the foundation. And quite frankly, you've seen the volatility that can come with massive manipulation. It's kind of sad. There's a lot of people that will avoid metals when they've taken their beating. What's most important is to look at the fundamentals of economics and metals and understand why metals are what they are. Metals are money. They're endorsed and authorized by the Bible. You know, precious metals have been the pinnacle form of wealth since the beginning of written human history. There's no exception to that whatsoever. They've saved countless lives from, you know, Hitler's time to Alexander the Great's time to the times of Rome. Fiat currency, the fake stuff like we've got, that's nothing new. Ruler after ruler and empire after empire have created false currency for a variety of reasons, always to take the gold and silver and make it their own. It's kind of like diluting and skimming something until finally there's nothing left. Everything collapses and falls apart, and precious metals always stand and hold the true long-term value. As I've become more and more of a student of history, what's kind of interesting is when you haven't studied history a lot, you think of thousands and thousands of years as being a long, long time ago. It's not, okay? Especially biblically in God's eyes. You know, I was talking to my wife yesterday, and I was like, man, it's weird to think that God can handle billions of people, but He made us. We're so simple compared to Him. His creation so magnificent. We can't comprehend 8 billion people on earth. How could He keep up? Well, we're super simple. I mean, we just don't have the capacity to do what He does. But if we take time to think about it and look at it, what we do and what we can handle is pretty impressive. So He created time for us and for us alone. And you look around the universe, you can get it all into the physics. You can really get crazy and go into quantum physics. But the bottom line is, time is just something that He created so people could live in layers. And ultimately, He's outside of time. So even though things seem a long time ago, people haven't changed. Geographic situations have remained fairly static after the flood, and man just generally does not change. Man tends towards evil and corruption. And in the last show, I talked about the fact that this nation, and man in general in history by his nature, is transitioning towards tyranny. We have this situation going down with the Bundys in Nevada. Our government's abusing them. No amount of pressure from the outside will stop them. They don't care. In fact, the more the pressure comes on, the harsher and tougher the government wants to look. They don't want to give an inch. This is the new mentality of law enforcement. The people of the United States of America are their enemy. We are the enemy combatant, and it scares me because I believe the Bible's very clear at end times. All of these laws and regulations are going to be applied to people that they do not agree with religiously. The Republican Party is dead. They're stagnant. What they were designed to believe in is phenomenal. What they believe in, I don't know. But I think there's a lot of truth to the accusations that it's a bunch of old fogies that are trying to protect themselves from excessive taxes, although they haven't even done a good job of that under Obama. Obama attacks. He follows the rules for radicals from Saul Alinsky to constantly belittle and mock and ridicule the opponent, never try to resolve anything. He does not want harmony. He wants chaos and catastrophe, because that makes his supporters just continually angry at the opposition. This last week, we had Eric Holder being questioned by Congress, and he was back-talking congressmen, and then he came out to the media and basically implied that he and Obama have endured the harshest form of treatment and behavior in the history of the United States of America. No president and no attorney general has ever been treated so poorly. And then he mentioned the race card a little bit later. Of course, they always got to throw that in. They got to make us hate each other for our skin color. And I hate it, and the people hate it, and I honestly hope and believe and think that there's a strong possibility that U.S. citizens are fed up with it, and that's why Obama's polls continue to drop. However, he's too dumb to figure it out. This is who he is. This is his pattern, his modus operandi, his method of operation. He can't stop. He can't change. He's a great deceiver. He's a terrible threat to this nation for what our founding fathers set up. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what popular opinion is. And when we get taught this democracy deception, that we're a democracy and whatever we think goes, that is the greatest deception of all. We had a firm foundational set of rules that's what makes us a republic. That is called the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. It's not negotiable. And people argue about how to translate it and how to interpret it. Baloney. We had the Federalist Papers intentionally left by our founding fathers, who penned the original Constitution to specifically discuss every one of these topics in detail in response to questions from the colonies. And they made their intentions very clear and very, very visible. In the 60s, however, our wonderful Supreme Court, in their divine wisdom, threw out the Federalist Papers as a form of interpretation or translation, because they said the separation of church and state was too big of an issue because they had God, God, God written throughout them. Terrible. You ever want an amazing read read the Federalist Papers. They're big, they're long, they're thick, they're amazing. And you talk about intelligence. Our founding fathers were geniuses. Folks, the fifth grade reading level of that time is now higher in ways than our high school SAT requirements. This is a true story. This is how far we've diverted, or how far we've decomposed in time, because we teach our kids crap. We teach our kids to be self-centered, self-focused. We don't believe in morals or ethics, in absolute truths. We brought that one in a while ago, a decade or two ago. And quite frankly, interpreting the Constitution is as easy as interpreting the Bible. As I think it was John Wesley said, you want to know what the Bible says? You don't need a degree in Greek. He said, you have 10 laymen, 10 regular men off the street read Scripture. They will tell you what it means. They will all agree. You get some big hotshot scholar that knows Greek inside out and upside down, and he will turn Scripture around for you until it makes absolutely no sense. He will tangle his mind around things far too much. The Bible is God's Word. It is sufficient. There are many, many books that were canonized out that I believe are definitely divinely inspired Scripture. However, our Bible that we have now is sufficient. It's not complete. There's more information out there. I've studied a lot of it. I love a lot of it. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's insightful. In Qumran, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, they made it very clear. The number one preserved book was the Book of Enoch. The number one book read and carried by Christians at the time of Christ was the Book of Enoch. It is now canonized out. By 500 AD, the Book of Enoch was illegal to own and punishable by death. And the Catholic Church had booted them all out. You know, however, God's word's easy to understand. The Constitution has one general meaning as well. There's not a lot. It's not open for debate, but constitutional attorneys can turn it into a lifelong debate. So the moral of the story is we're transitioning to tyranny. I discuss Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, the story is about God's grace, his favoritism to his elect and his answer to prayer, his fairness and his justice. And it's in twofold. One, he was fair to Abraham. He was fair to Lot. Lot did not deserve to be freed. Lot had tried to give up his virgin daughters to homosexual deviants. And as I mentioned, people refer to his offering of his daughters as if it was some great feat to protect the angels. Really? Well, he didn't know they were angels. And even so, a man of valor does not offer his virgin daughters up to be raped to protect himself or anybody else, especially when they're protecting perfect strangers. A good father will lay down his life for his daughter, as I said in the previous half hour, I would happily do for my daughter in the same situation. So Sodom and Gomorrah stories about the importance of keeping a community and a nation holy and pure, not compromising the morals of that area to appease the endless pressures of evil, because evil never sleeps. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. If you're doing nothing, you are not doing your duty to God. You know, the Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word. You're not equipping yourself when you're just listening and learning the word. We all love it. It's awesome. We thirst for the word. But we all need to be working within our sphere of influence. This last week, I went back to my hometown of Great Falls, Montana. Went to a little thing, a little charitable event with a guy named Ben Carson. He's a neurosurgeon who, you know, got a Nobel Prize. He did incredible things. He spoke a while ago at a national prayer breakfast. He sat next to Obama. He spoke directly to Obama about socialism and Obama's view on taxation and how the Bible, if 10% is good enough for God, why does man need 40%, etc. Very moving. And then he kind of got elevated to a national limelight. You know, he's really, I talked to him for a little bit. He's really disgusted with the whole corruption of the left-wing media. And he and I were talking about the importance of every person having a sphere of influence and exercising whatever authority or impact they can have within that sphere of their influence. And folks, I'll tell you, to touch on politics a little bit, something that's really driven me nuts with the Christian population is the level of judgmentalism and pickiness. I will talk to believer after believer, and they're like, I won't vote. I won't vote because nobody meets all of my standards, okay? We've got an earth full of people. We are all different, okay? We need to agree on certain topics and issues. And if someone is against us in abortion and sexual deviancy and, you know, I won't get into all the topics, but you vote against, you protect this nation. If someone, you look at the candidates and you say, who's better? Now, if someone's truly just, if they're all immoral, give it up. But this isn't the case. You've got the one group of people that when they vote, all they look at is for a D for Democrat or R for Republican or a name they know. And, you know, half the time that name could be Satan and they'd say, I know that name. And most of the time they're right. They don't think for themselves. Karl Marx stated clearly, to control a nation, you conquer the newspaper and media outlet and the schools, and the rest will fall in place, and you dispose of the adult dissenters. We are losing the minds of our children. I don't know how many of you have heard of Common Core, but that's the curriculum that is put forth by the U.S. government, the federal government, that all states have to adhere to. And let me say, Vladimir Lenin said, give me 4 years to teach the children, and the seed I have sown will never be uprooted. Common Core curriculum tells children, now this is without even educating them on what the Bill of Rights is. They tell children that the Bill of Rights is outdated and may not remain in its current form any longer. Then they ask them to prune or take out two and add two amendments to the Bill of Rights. Now, parents that saw this talked to their kids. Their kids did not know what the Bill of Rights was. There was one mother who chased this all the way down. The school said, yeah, that's what we're required to do. They didn't give them the option to keep the Bill of Rights. Again, folks, Bill of Rights is the Constitution, the most important part. Didn't give them the option to keep it as it is. I personally believe it's a divinely inspired document. And when the mother looked into this, first of all, she said, my daughter didn't even know what the Bill of Rights was. Well, the principal said, well, before they were given this assignment, they were handed a flyer on what the Bill of Rights was. And then they asked these kids to slash parts of the Bill of Rights out and change them as if it was an outdated relic. This is what Lenin's talking about. When you tell them it's trash, okay? And in the United States, students came in 22nd and 23rd internationally in their science and math scores. That's 22nd and 23rd globally. That means 22 countries and 23 or 21 countries are ahead of us. Science and math is mandatory for students to succeed in life. Notice I said in life, not just in careers, but their ability to logic and reason and think. And if you think about it, the United States was built on theological, spiritual, philosophical reason and rational thinking and liberty, mental liberty. And in 200 years after our founding, we had men walking on the moon, supposedly. Some say not. I happen to believe they probably did. But anyway, our high school graduates today cannot pass the middle school exit exam from the mid-1800s. That's what I was telling you about earlier. Education, knowledge, and wisdom change people. People that are not well educated are easily led, okay? People that are miseducated are easily led. Poor and falsely educated people are further deceived by the schools and the media. People are taught stupidity like evolution. Everything came from nothing, okay? And there was a big explosion and everything happened and it was great. Completely contrary to the second law of thermodynamics. Now, that's like saying if a hurricane went through a junkyard enough times, eventually there'd be a perfect 747 plane sitting there waiting to take off. Now, that would be a lot easier than what's taken place in our universe. But this is how foolish and stupid people are, folks. As far as evolution goes, you know, they always lean towards Darwin and the Galapagos Islands. Well, he saw mutations in animals. Those islands had just gone through a long drought, and he saw changes in the beaks of finches. Well, the bottom line is the finches with large beaks had survived years of drought because they could break out seashells. That is called microevolution, species change within the grand species to adapt and live. It is survival of the fittest, but within a species. Darwin said himself that fossil records would ultimately show a continuous transformation and the necessary missing links to justify his theory of evolution. We are far beyond that. We know the fossil records do no such thing. And there's so much evidence that things like eyes and kidneys can't be created by themselves. None of the individual parts have a function without the other. It's all faith, one or the other, God or man, God or monkey. Okay, if people say that we came from monkeys, they did. I didn't. I came from God. But I'm telling you, folks, wisdom and knowledge is everything. We have been conditioned to tolerate more and more and more as time goes on. We've been conditioned to believe a lie when it comes to our own money. We are designed to collect and accumulate tangible assets. God made precious metals, and coins and things like that are all part of that circle. We've been conditioned to believe what they tell us. And by the way, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, folks, is about conditioning, okay? We believe what they tell us on finances. We've got the stupidest economic system in the world. We've got a bunch of terribly rich people that take all of our gold and silver and assets, and in return, they literally give us monopoly money, toilet paper. We believe that's okay because everybody says it's okay and it's worked for quite a while. One thing you got to think about and believe and understand, when everyone is bearish on precious metals, that means they think, oh, it's over, it's dead, it's done. That's time to buy. When everyone is bearish, it's because they're all out of metals and they want it to drop in price to buy back in. Bullion banks, that's the big banks that control all the gold in the world, are used to, they're out. They're all heavily, heavily short in the market and they want metals down. They're out. China is consuming voracious quantities of precious metals. Blow your mind, folks. They're also consuming massive amounts of certified gold coins, quality collectible coins. They've purchased 4,800 metric tons of gold in 2013 alone, and the government itself is consuming collectible coins. Just to briefly explain the manipulation of 2012 and 13, or mostly 2013, there was the Cyprus crisis happened. That was the clearinghouse for gold for Russia, which was insane, and China. There was a huge run on bullion banks. Everybody wanted physical metal. The banks could not deliver. By April, there was a huge problem for central banks. The banks chose with Obama to kill the bullish sentiment on precious metals. In other words, to tell people it was over. The same thing happened back in 98, okay? And after 98, gold growth exploded nonstop for about 13 years. The central bank, and that's what the sign of things to come. This is the time when the money's stretched, the gold is out, they've pushed it down, they manipulate it through the futures, they all want it, they can't get enough. The central banks succeeded on this last manipulation again with Obama's help to convince everyone that gold was in the tank. However, as metals prices dropped, physical demand in the metals exploded. India introduced huge tax increases and an 80-20 export-import rule to try to deter the growth, okay? That's another story. But the bottom line is they said you had to export 80% of all the gold you imported, which was just craziness. They're trying, it's all part of the central bank activity. They had to accelerate leasing programs to keep the prices down. Russia and China used the dip in the metals last year and this year to institute the largest global transfer of wealth in world history. Precious metals-based assets are the only true forms of monetary wealth. All the exchange-traded funds, all this stuff, had massive net liquidations of gold. In other words, they're all out. You got to think about this, folks. Germany tried to recall all of its gold holdings from the U.S. They had 1,576 tons held by the U.S. They were only able to get 5 tons out of the U.S. last year. Germany is terrified by the Federal Reserve threats to collapse the European economies with hyperinflation, so Germany will not speak out or make any strategic moves at this point. The IMF, International Monetary Fund, is trying to force Pakistan to sell $2.7 billion in gold. They're saying no. They're trying to get everybody to liquidate their gold, and everybody's saying no. They want the gold. The IMF doesn't have the gold. They want the gold, and they can't get it. It's gone. It's out there. China's got it. Russia's got it. And it's getting into the hands of private holdings. In 1965, 1 ounce of gold was worth 170 rupees in India. Today, 1 ounce of gold is over 100,000 rupees. Every time the Indian people have children, they give gold. Every time there's a festival or a celebration, they give gold. It's their family pension fund. They have dowries. It's gold, gold, gold. Asians understand gold, and they think of it completely differently than you or I. Asia's consuming collectible coins beyond our wildest dreams. They're consuming old U.S. coins, Roman, Greek. All good coin, any quality coins or collectible currency is heading to Asia. Their coin shows are exploding, and here in the U.S., we have this massive propaganda machine doing everything in their power to twist facts and data to get the short-lived this phony baloney dot-com casino-based stock market run back. It is not coming back, never will. I know many dealers that go to Asian shows to sell. They can't even make it to the retail show. Their entire inventory sells out before the show begins. They literally get attacked during setup, and everything they have will sell for its full retail price. It's not about price. It's about the fact they cannot get enough. Nice quality original product, which we call it, will sell because of what it is. One dealer stated that a Chinese billionaire is buying every Morgan Silver dollar that Asian dealers can produce. Hard liquid assets is what it's all about. Coins have always been the most recognizable, respected, and compact forms of wealth throughout history. As I've said, folks, now's the time to prepare. The Bible tells us clearly, prepare while you still can. There's good value out there. We recommend balanced portfolios from bullion, semi-numismatic to numismatic. We can get into that. We're very good at it. We hand select items, and in the long run, you'll do terrific. Numismatic, quality handpicked numismatic is far outperformed anything out there at all. We do IRAs and 401ks, whether they're new or rollovers. There are some tax issues you got to think about. If you don't have an IRA and you want one, you got to remember that your little contributions to avoid little taxes will stack up and eventually become large quantities with large taxes. Sometimes holding it yourself is a better option, but we can do whatever you want that way. Give us a call. We can talk about it and explain it in more detail to you, but we're happy to help you out. The Western Keynesian economic ideology has tried to push the lie as long as it can, and the consequences are culminating. They try to keep the surface appearance calm while a volcano is building beneath them. There are over 4 billion people in Asia who have a very old-fashioned view of coins and precious metals, and they have become wealthy over the last 20 years. Their view will prevail against the hundreds of millions of North American and Western Europeans adhering to a proven flawed and skewed form of economics. We've got some great value products, the old 1960s silver proof sets, Morgan silver dollars. This is a beautiful time to transfer your wealth into solid, tangible assets. Everything I read, everything I see has me very, very concerned about what lies just around the corner, folks. To me, it's simple logic and basic math. We've reached the end of the road in this nation in many ways, and the greatest wealth transfer in history is about to take place. Prepare yourself. Give Coins Plus a call. Thanks again for tuning in. Take care, God bless, and have a fantastic week.
Thank you for listening to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus, located in Spokane, Washington, at 3201 North Division Street in the Clock Tower Building. Visit our website at coinsplus.com. You can call us locally in Spokane at 444-0044 or toll-free at 877-827-COIN. That's 877-827-2646. And remember to join us every week for True Wealth.